I was asked to give a shiur when I asked like what the style and what the topic is. So it's a shiur. It's supposed to be a shiur, apparently. So people could leave if they didn't know that, and I won't look. And the shiur was supposed to apparently target in some way the concept of chinuch. In some way, it's supposed to target the concept of raising children, having a family, and how we relate to our family. I don't know if the title went out, but the title certainly related to that. We're going to talk about an interesting topic. It sounds like a sad topic, but you'll see, hopefully, it's got a bright twist to it. You know, we're in a time period now of, Bein HaMitzarim, of the 3 weeks. We're heading much closer to the 9 days. This is a shiur that's supposed to be around the time of Rosh Chodesh Av. So we're heading towards the 9 days and towards Tisha B'Av. It's a time of Avelus. It's a time of mourning. There's no other way to put it. It's a sad time. We're very, you know, we're despondent. We feel rejected. We feel lost. We're missing something crucial in our lives, or at least we're supposed to feel all those ways. And it's a time of great sadness. And that becomes a very difficult time to balance, no? Because we're here enjoying the beautiful weather, enjoying great food, enjoying sitting through a shiur. And, you know, we're doing all these things that are normal, and we don't really want to depress our children either, right? We're not trying to raise families that when the kids go to camp, they're supposed to be frowning because it's 3 weeks, or they're supposed to be sad during the 9 days and not enjoy it. We're trying to raise happy, wholesome families who are enjoying their time and balance that somehow with this concept of Bein HaMitzarim, this concept of Churban that we're supposed to be experiencing and supposed to be reliving in certain ways. And that balance is very, very tricky. The truth is, it's tricky on multiple levels. It's tricky on the level of Hashkafa and Hanhaga, the way we act and the way we feel, as we just mentioned, and in terms of imparting that to our children. But it's also tricky in the realm of halacha. So I want to spend a few moments discussing the halachic aspect of chinuch in Avelus, teaching our children about the concept of Avelus in the general world of Avelus, Rahman al-Itzlan, and then in our world of the 3 weeks and the 9 days, which this should be the last of the time that it relates to Avelus. But I'd like to discuss that in halacha. And I think if you pay attention, you stay with me throughout the shiur, you'll notice towards the end that it's a very natural flow. It's a very easy segue. It's a good basis for the hashkafas, for the feelings, and for the chinuch that we're supposed to give over to our children and our whole families and ourselves in terms of understanding how to behave and how to feel during this time period and really during the rest of the year. The sugya starts in the Gemara in Moed Katan. The Gemara appears in two places in Moed Katan, Chav Vav on Beis and Yudal on Beis earlier in the Masechta. The Gemara says, Mikarin lekatan mipnei agmas nefesh, which basically means as follows. Sometimes, Rahman al-Tzlan, a very sad case. You have a young child. A katan is a child who's under the age of either 12 or 13, depending on if it's a boy or a girl. A katan, a minor. And that minor loses a family member, one of the seven closest family members, the Shiva Krovim. And Rahman al-Tzlan, let's say the father passes away. It's sad, because it means the father probably passed away young. Nebuch, this 8-year-old child, this 4-year-old child, 7-year-old child, is now an avel. Very, very sad, very depressing. Says the Gemara, Mikarin lekatan mipnei agmas nefesh. We tear kriya. We rend his garment. We do kriya like a regular avil does in his garment. Why? Mipnei agmas nefesh. Because of the distress that it causes. What does that mean? What's mipnei agmas nefesh? So Rashi comments there in the Seches Moed Katan that he's not really an avil. Afal pi that this katan, he's not actually an avil. He's not actually a mourner. Halachically speaking, he's not in avelus. However, mikarin lekatan mipnei agmas nefesh, because the people around see this horrible tragedy. Nebuch, a 7-year-old boy loses his father. Oh, it's a terrible thing. There are very few things worse than that. There are things worse than that, but there are very few things worse than that. And we want to induce in the crowd a feeling of mourning and a feeling of sadness. We want them to relate to the tragedy. So mikarin lekatan, is he chayiv in kriya? No, he's a katan. He's a minor. He's not chayiv in mitzvos. But we rend his garment anyways. Why? To induce crying and sadness amongst the crowd who are onlooking, who are watching the bereaved child at the funeral. We tear it just as a kiyum in making the other people around him sad. That's what the Gemara says according to Rashi. Now, it's interesting, the Rishonim, the Ramban, and the other Rishonim quote the Ritz Geis, an earlier posek, who says that we see from here that there's a concept of, you know, we know there's a concept of higiyah lechinuch and not higiyah lechinuch, meaning sometimes you have a katan who's 2 years old and 3 years old. A 2-year-old child, in most cases, does not need to make brachos, correct? Not even because of chinuch. Why? He's too young. He doesn't understand brachos. He doesn't understand anything. So you don't need to teach them how to do mitzvos. At a certain age, a child becomes 6, 7. They start to understand mitzvos a little better. Then there's a chiyuv of chinuch. Says the Ritz Geis, this gemara of mekaren lekatan mipnei agmas nefesh, that we tear the katan's garments because we're trying to instill a feeling of sadness among the crowd, that gemara is talking about a young child who's not even the age of chinuch. But says the Ritz Geis, if he's the age of chinuch, let's say he's a 7-year-old a child, let's say he's an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, he's not bar mitzvah, she's not bas mitzvah, but she's old enough to be cognizant of what's going on. Says the Ritz Geis, in that case, there's a chiyuv of chinuch to do kriya. It's not just to instill and induce sadness and tears amongst the crowd, but there's a chiyuv, there's a mitzvah, there's an obligation to be mechanech, to train the child in the mitzvah of kriya. That's a mitzvah. probably in Darabanan, but it's a mitzvah, it's a ter kriya. When a person is an avel, you got to teach your kid who's old enough to understand mitzvos how to do the mitzvos. Kriya is one of those mitzvos. If they're old enough, says the Ritz Gaius, there's a mitzvah of chinuch on kriya. Now, we're all probably wondering, I don't understand, either way you're tearing his garment, whether he's 4 or whether he's 8. So what's the difference if it's because of chinuch or not because of chinuch? So there is a difference. Anyone want to take a stab at it? No pun intended. Should I just cut to the chase? No pun intended. Are you guys upset that I'm ripping bad jokes? Okay, sorry, I'll stop. But so what's the difference if you're tearing because of chinuch or you're just tearing because of agmas nefesh? So says Rabbi Kiva Eger in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, there is a difference. When a person tears kriya, Rachman Atzlan, hopefully none of us have experienced, but some of us may have, when a person tears kriya, there's a shear, there's an amount of garment that needs to be torn when you tear the beged. It has to be torn one tefach long. If you're teaching a child how to do the mitzvah, how should you teach them? They should do it the proper way. They should do it the full tefach. So if the kid is 8 years old, says the Ritz Gaius, you got to tear it a full tefach. What if the kid's 2 or 4, and you're only doing it mipnei agmas nefesh? You're only doing it because you want to make sure everyone's sad. So a little nick. You don't need to ruin the whole suit, the whole shirt. You don't need to ruin his whole t-shirt. Give a little nick, a little tiny cut. Less than a tefach is okay too. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that's the difference. If he's young, or if he's old enough that there's a chilul chinuch, when the Ritz Gaius says that there's actually a mitzvah chinuch on tearing kriya. That's the opinion of the Ritz Gaius as quoted by the Rishonim. You know, how do we paskin, or what does this mean, halacha? So the Drisha, that halacha is quoted in Simon Shin Mem and Yordaya. Shin Mem and Yordaya is the halachas of Kriya. It's actually a pretty long simon, all things being equal, and it's all about the halachas of Kriya, of tearing shirts during Avela. So there, in Simon Shin Mem, in the commentary on the tour, not the Shulchan Aruch, the Drisha makes a comment. He says, Mikan Ktsas Raya, from here, we have a shtikal raya, a little bit of a proof, just a, maybe a remez, a hint, that there's a special halacha. That just like there's avelus, just like there's chinuch by all mitzvos, there is also chinuch by the mitzvah of avelus. How do I know? Because the Gemara says, Mekarin lekatan mipnei agmas nefesh. Say the Rishonim from the Ritz Gaius, if he's higia lechinuch, if the kid is old enough that they're chayiv in chinuch, so then you really have to do a real kriya. So you see that there's chinuch by avelus. Kriya and avelus, right? Kriya and avelus usually go hand in hand. Says the Drisha, you see from here, and the Taz quotes this in Shulchan Aruch la'alacha, you see from here that when a katan loses a parent, not only do we tear their garment, but they should sit shiva. They should avoid the things we're supposed to avoid when we're avelim, when we're mourners. The katan should really be taught and trained in the concept and the halachos of avelus. And some of the posts can really go with this. Some of the posts can really do paskin the way, except Sofer from the Achronim in his Tshuvas and Yardaya, paskins this way, like the Taz, like the Drisha, and some others follow suit. That is the opinion of the Drisha and some of the Achronim. However, many of the Achronim disagree with this. Many of the Achronim say it's not true. The Shach, in his commentary, interesting, the Shach is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. So we have him all over the page on Shulchan Aruch, very famous. He also wrote a second commentary called Nekutas HaKesef, which is not his own comments on the side of the page, but it's his reaction to the Taz's comments on the page. They're always fighting. All the rabbis are always fighting. That's why the Gemara says that Al Takrib Banayich Banayich, and also that the rabbis are referred to as people who make shalom in the world. And everyone always jokes, the rabbis are the ones who are fighting all the time in the Gemara. The rabbis are the ones who are clawing at each other, trying to decide who's right and who's wrong, and yelling at each other. But ultimately, there's a shalom of coming to Amita Shel Torah. So the Taz and the Shach were always involved in that Melchemta Shel Torah as well. In the Shach's commentary, Nekudas HaKesef, he fights this Taz. He says, no way. There's no proof that you have a chiyuv of chinuch on Avelus from this Gemara. Why not? Says the Shach, Kriya and Avelus are two separate and distinct entities. I mean, the Gemara says only one specific thing you do when a katan loses a parent. What do you do? Mekarin lekatan mipnei agmas nefesh. The Gemara doesn't say teach the kid avelus. The Gemara says what? Do kriya. What does that sound like? Only kriya, but there's no mitzvah to give him chinuch to train him on all of avelus. Kriya is a special thing mipnei agmas nefesh because we want to make sure everyone feels the tragedy. Everyone really relates to what's going on. But you don't have to mechanech a kid in avelus, says the Shach, and he has a really interesting proof. The Rush, in his commentary on Maseches Moed Katan, in Simen Sadi Vav, he quotes his Rebbe, the Maharam Rutenberg. And they talk about an interesting case. We won't get into it too far, but imagine the following case, a very depressing case. Again, we're bringing up a lot of depressing cases. A Katan, Rachmanel, the son, loses a parent. They're only 7, 8 years old. So they're not Chayiv and Avelus. We're not talking about Chinuch yet. They're not Chayiv and Avelus, right? Let's do a new case, sorry. A Katan loses a parent at a boy at 12 years old, and his birthday's in a few days. So he starts Avelus, and he's not a gadol, so he doesn't have to keep Avelus. But in a few weeks, in a few days, he's going to turn into a gadol. So what happens now? Should he start keeping Avelus? Now he's a gadol and he's within shloshim. He's within shiva. He's within a year. So she start doing the halachas of avelos. That's a machlokish, the Rush and his Rebbe, the Maharam Mirenberg. Whether the katan now is chayiv in avelos or no. Once he was potter when he was a little kid, he doesn't become chayiv now that he grew up. The Shach says, what do you see the Rush and his Rebbe agree about? When the katan is a katan, when he's under bar mitzvah, is he chayiv in avelos? Everyone agrees he's not. When he becomes a gadol, the question is maybe now he should start keeping avelos. But during that time that he's a youngster, under the age of 12, under the age of 13, he does not or she does not have to keep avelos. Says the Shach, you see very clearly that the Drisha and the Taz and the Ksav Sofer, they're all wrong. It can't be that you have a chiv of mechinuch on a katan keeping avelos. It's obvious from these Rishonim that they assume that as long as they're minor, as long as they're a katan, there is no mitzvah of chinuch on the concept of avelos. There's mitzvah of chinuch by lulav and by tefillin and by davening and by brachos and by all of those other mitzvahs, but not by avelos. That's what the Shach says. That's what the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch Tzim and Shin Sadi Vav in Yoradei is, and that's what the Chachmas Adam of Avram Danzig, a Baal Abbas, who wrote Halachas Farim and became a Rav later in life, he was from the 18th century. He died in the 19th century, like 1820, or something like that, but he was mostly an 18th century posek, Baal Abbas who became a posek, and basically the accepted practice, the Mordechai, the Rashba, everyone assumes, is that there's no mitzvah of chinuch, of training ketanim, youngsters, minors, in the mitzvah of avelos. What's the obvious question?
Just because there's no mitzvah,
yeah.
Just because the katan isn't a bar chiyuv, doesn't mean there's no mitzvah of chinuch.
Absolutely. Or in other words, exactly what you just said. What's your name?
Buddy.
Everyone clap for Buddy. Yeah, let's go. So, no, excellent. Or in other words, let me just take what you said and take a step further. Of course, there's no chiyuv of avelos. He's a katan. But every mitzvah that a katan has, he's not chayiv in. There's a mitzvah of chinuch. So why is avelos different? Lulav. He's young. He's not chayiv in lulav. We have to teach him. Barachos. She's young. She's not chayiv in lulav. We have to teach her. So why all of a sudden by avelos is it different? Why is there no mitzvah of chinuch by avelos? Why don't we have to teach them how to sit shiva, how to tear kriya, how to do all of these things, just like every other mitzvah in the Torah, or every other derabanan that we have in the Torah? Why is there no mitzvah of chinuch on avelos? Any suggestions?
Really hope it doesn't happen. Yeah.
Excellent. So the Minchas Chinuch says that. The Minchas Chinuch says that in Misereish Samach Dal, he says exactly what you just said, that it's true. Lulav, we hope in a few years this kid is going to be 13 years old and they'll take a lulav. We hope that in 5 years she's going to be 12 years old and she's going to daven and say brachos. We hope that when they're 13 or 12, they will never experience avelos. Now, we hope it in a good way. We don't hope that Rachman son, they outlive, you know, that the parents outlive their Rachman son. But I mean, we hope they live long enough that, I don't know, Mashiach comes and we don't have avelos anymore, or whatever. We have a hopeful optimism that the mitzvah of avelos will never be nogeas, that will never be shaykh, that will never be relevant to this kid's life, so why train them in it? Why teach them young to do something we hope they never have to do? It's a great answer. That's what the Minchas Chinuch says. The Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, provided a different answer. The Rav explained that all of avelos, and he really proves this from a Gemara in Sanhedrin and Mem Vav, and he has a lot of makoros to support this. It's not important for right now, but the Rav had a beautiful point. He said that the whole concept of avelos, we think of avelos as what? The mitzvah of avelos is a person has to sit on the ground. That a person has to tear kriya is kriya. That a person has to avoid all of the things that he's supposed to avoid during avelos. They can't shower, they can't shave. We think that's what avelos is. Says the Rav, that's not what avelos is. You know what avelos is? Avelos is what he calls a kiyum shebelev. It's something we fulfill in our hearts. It's a hergesh halev. It's a feeling. It's something that a person intuits. But the halacha mandates certain actions to express that intuition. You're supposed to feel sad when you're an avel, rachman al etzlan. A person is supposed to feel bereft. They're supposed to feel despondent and neglected and abandoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they're supposed to feel sad about the loss. But it's not enough that we trust the human instinct. So the halacha says do this and do that and do all of these actions which form, you know, they formalize and they give you an expression and a representation of those feelings. But the kiyum of avelos is a kiyum shebelev. It's a feeling, an inner feeling that a person's supposed to have. Says the halacha, the Rav explains, a katan, a seven-year-old, you expect them to really internalize what loss is? They don't even understand. Well, you know it all the time. They don't know what death means. I mean, we don't know what death means, so compare that to a seven-year-old intellect. They can't. What? Oh, so that's an interesting point. So we assume, and al pi halacha, it's a good point. Why is the cut up? Some kids are smarter and they'll get it at seven also, right? We assume in halacha that the point at which a person becomes a bar das, meaning they have an intellect al pi halacha, is 13 or 12, depending on a girl or a boy. What that says about the difference between men and women is a discussion for another time. But we assume that that halachic intellect comes into play at that point. But it's a great point.
No, but there is. I mean, why is there then like also you can't cut a bald spot in your head or cut your
yeah
like he doesn't even trust the bar dot. Like, the Torah tells us, like, even as adults, how to...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But that is a good point, but it's a different point. Meaning, the point that... What's your name?
Ben
is making, is that the Torah does mandate, like, even when a person's a gadol, actions that you have to do to express avails, actions that you can't do. Lo sasimu karcha bein einichem, lo sasgod du, lo sasimu karcha bein einichem, baram atam l'asham lokechem. The pasuk says that you're not allowed to, Rachman Zalman, this was a practice amongst the non-Jews, that hurt themselves or shave their heads in ridiculous ways in order to express avails. Again, we relate to it in one way. When a person is very frustrated, they start pulling at their hair. So a person, if they were so, Rachman Zalman, so sad, maybe they would pull out their hair. But the Torah is not telling you you're not a bardas. It's trying to direct you and trying to channel your feelings in the proper Torah direction. But at 13 or at 12, we trust you to have feelings. Feelings al pi halacha. It's a kiyum shebelev. But a katan, even if you're not right, even if Rachman Zalman is going to experience avelus when he's older, but it doesn't help to be mechanichim. Now he doesn't feel anything. It's not meaningful. That's not avelus. So it's not that we don't need to have chinuch avelus, it's that we can't have chinuch avelus. Is it possible to teach a katan because they can't relate to the true concept of avelus, which is that kiyum shebelev, that hergish, that feeling that a person has inside of themselves when they're Rachman Zalman and avel. That's what the halacha seems to assume. And again, the majority opinion amongst the poskim is that there is no concept of chinuch when a katan loses a relative, Rachman Zalman, which leads us to an interesting point, which is the following. That the Magen Avraham in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Aleph in Or HaChaim, that's halachos of Tisha B'Av. So in the halachos of Tisha B'Av, the Magen Avraham quotes this halacha, and he says that there is no such thing as avelus by a katan, which helps us understand what the Be'er Halacha says in Siman Tav Kuf Nun. The Be'er Halacha, written by the Mishnah Berura, says that a katan on Tisha B'Av eats, and a katan on Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, Shavasar B'Tammuz, eats. And there is no mitzvah of chinuch. I understand. There's a mitzvah chinuch for the kid when he's old enough to shake a lulav, for the kid to say brachos, for the kid to do all the mitzvah. So why is there no mitzvah of chinuch and Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av? What are those days about? All about avelus, all about mourning. Says the halacha, apparently, we'll get into this a little bit more soon, says the halacha, apparently, that a katan has no chinuch and avelus. And Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is mourning the Beis HaMikdash. And Tisha B'Av is mourning the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash. And so we're not going to try to teach a katan about avelus because they don't relate to that. We can't teach them avelus. We don't have a chinuch on those type of mitzvahs. A side note, the Mishnah Berura does point out later that on Tisha B'Av, you have a young kid who's 6, whatever, 4, 5, 10, whatever age that's appropriate, so they shouldn't be eating their favorite candy and their favorite food, and you shouldn't take them to La Gondola? Help me out. That was our place? La Gondola? You shouldn't be taking them to dine and, shout out to Lenny's, I'm sorry, okay? You shouldn't take them out to dine on their the favorite delicacies during during Tisha B'Av or during Shabbat or B'Tammuz, but they should eat what they have to eat in order to stay healthy, and there's no mitzvah chinuch. That's what the poskim say, and it really makes sense based on what we said until now. However, the Magen Avraham, who we quoted just a minute ago, as saying there's no such thing as chinuch on avelus, listen closely, this is where it gets interesting, depending on how you define interesting. You know what I mean. The Magen Avraham says a little bit earlier in that same siman, Tav Kuf Nun Aleph in Or HaChaim, the Magen Avraham says that when it comes to the 9 days, we know there is an isser, there's a prohibition to eat meat and to drink wine. Do you have to teach your children to refrain from meat and wine during the 9 days?
Wine.
Not speaking about legal issues. Ignoring any legal issues. Unfortunately, she doesn't remember Purim. That's the problem. So do you have to mechanic your child? So the mother says, absolutely. A child should not eat meat or wine during the 9 days. Why? Because it's a mitzvah chinuch. Got to teach them that the halacha. A gadol can't eat meat and wine during the 9 days, so a kid can't also because of chinuch. Does that bother anyone? Never mind the practicality, it's really annoying. But does it bother anyone in terms of what we're learning right now? Shout out.
It's still part of the morning.
That's all avelus. What do you mean? We just spent...
3 inches?
Feels like shorter, but we just spent about 15 minutes talking about avelus not applying to ketanim. Not the mitzvah, obviously, and not even chinuch. But all of a sudden you're telling me that when it comes to the Tisha Yamim, the 9 days from Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av, there is avelus for ketanim in some way. They can't eat meat and wine? That's ludicrous. We just spent the whole time defending that that's not true. So what is going on? The Magen Avraham himself told us there's no such thing as chinuch by avelus, and yet there's chinuch by not eating meat and wine during the 9 days. Something funny is going on over here. So my Rebbe, Rosh Echter Shlita from Yeshiva University, he often explains in the following way. He also has it written in his Sefer. But in order to understand that, we have to go back to a Gemara. The Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Samech says that after the Churban, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so there were Rabu Prushim B'Yisrael. There became a lot of people in Klal Yisrael who became Prushim. Prushim means, not separatists, but they separated. They were, give me a good word. Come on. No, but yeah, extreme or fundamental, but about like separating from things. No, it's like not aesthetic, like good looking, but what's the other word that sounds like that?
Aesthetic.
Yeah, A-S-C. Aesthetics, right? Not aesthetics, like this is very aesthetically pleasing, this house. More like aesthetics, like, oh, you live in this place? You must be an aesthetic. Get it? I'm not saying which one was the true one. So a lot of people, Rabu Prushim be Yisrael. A lot of people became Prushim. They were separating from things. What does it mean they were separating things? The Gemara says as follows. People stopped eating meat. They couldn't eat meat after the Churban. They stopped drinking wine. Those are two main examples the Gemara gives. Now, Rabbi Yeshua came along and saw that people were not eating meat and not drinking wine. So first he chopped all the meat and bought it for cheap, fine. But then he said, wait a minute, why aren't you guys eating meat? What happened? They said, meat? We're going to eat meat? Basar? Like the karbanos that we used to offer in the Beis HaMikdash? How could we eat basar? We have no taste for basar anymore. The Beis HaMikdash isn't here. How could we eat meat when there's no karbanos? He said, why aren't you drinking wine? He said, wine? The nesachim? The libations that we used to offer on the Mizbeach? We don't have wine anymore for the Mizbeach. How could we enjoy a cup of wine when we remember what it was like to pour wine over them? I can't fathom eating that. Rabbi Yeshua said, that's a good point. Let me ask you a question. Did you eat any bread today? He said, yeah, bread. You got to eat bread. He said, why? There's no carbon mincha. There's no lachme toda. The carbonos that involve bread don't exist anymore. He said, did you drink water today? He said, water? We're going to die if we don't have water. He said, yeah, but there's mayim, nischei mayim that we offer, nesach mayim that we offer on Sukkot. We don't have that anymore because the Beis HaMikdash is here. You should stop drinking water. And he made a list of things that Klal Yisrael should also separate from if you're going to separate, because the Mikdash is gone. We don't have any of those things anymore. And his point was obvious. He said, "Ein gozrin gzeira al tzibur sherov hatzibur ein yicholim lamod ba." You can't make a gzeira, a takana, a rule, a decree in Klal Yisrael that you can't uphold. You can't say we're going to separate from all things that were in the Mikdash because don't eat fruit because we can't offer bikurim anymore, and don't drink water because there's no nesach hamayim, etc., etc. The list goes on. If you're going to separate, you got to go all the way. Ein l'davar sof, we're going to drop dead on the spot. Says Rabbi Yeshua, you got to be a little more, you got to temper it. You got to be a little more in moderation. Make a section on your house that doesn't have a filled in area, not cemented. Zecher l'mikdash, imeshkachi chishalayim tishkachi mini. That's how the Gemara concludes. That really we should eat meat, we should drink wine, we should obviously drink water and have bread, but we should make moments in our lives where we remember the Beis HaMikdash, a part of our wall in our house that's not painted over and reminds us of the Churban. The Gemara says. So some of the Achronim, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Beis Yosef quotes this from others as well. They say, what you see over here is something very, very interesting. It's that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, people stopped eating meat and wine, not really in terms of mourning for the Beis HaMikdash, but more in terms of, it was like a Zecher HaMikdash, it was a remembrance of the Mikdash. And you see that because of the following thing. They say that this concept of not eating meat and wine during the 9 days, the Aruch HaShulchan explained this, is not so much that as an Avel, we now can't eat meat and wine. What's the greatest proof that it's not about Avelis? Maybe. A better proof, though. Avelim are allowed to eat meat. Not only that, some of the poskim say an Avel has to eat meat during the Sudas Havra. So there's no Isser for an Avel to eat meat. So not eating meat during the 9 days can't be about Avelis. What is it about? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's because really, we wish we could, we don't want to eat meat all year. But it's impossible, we wouldn't be able to live like that. So says the halacha, and the minhag which became the halacha, that, yeah, we can't hold off from meat and wine for the entire year. But chach, Yiddish, means at least. Chach. Right? That, no one's writing it down. Okay. You'll remember it. Chach, at least, 9 days of the year. 9 days. Some people used to do it for 3 weeks. 9 days. Or Shavuot Shechalba, whatever the minhag is. Just for a few days of the year, let's remember the mikdash. I can't not eat meat and drink wine all year round. But let's just remember something. Let's make a Zecher l'Mikdash a little bit during the year, during this period of Bein HaMetzarim, during the 9 days leading up to Tisha B'Av. That's what the Gemara of Rosh Hashanah says. The pasuk says, Sion, that Sion, the city of Yerushalayim, is Doresh Einla. It's missing a Doresh. It doesn't have anyone seeking it. Says the Gemara, Mechlal Debayi Drisha, which teaches us that a person is supposed to yearn for Yerushalayim, yearn for the Beis HaMikdash, pine to be back in the Mikdash. We're not mourning when we refrain, when we abstain from meat and wine during these 9 days, we are yearning. There's a difference. We're not sad and despondent. We also are supposed to feel avelis. But that practice of avoiding meat and wine during this time period is not about being depressed. It's about remembering and reminding ourselves of what we're missing, the Beis HaMikdash. We do that by saying, there's no karbanos, so I'm not going to eat meat. There's no nesach hayayin, so I can't drink wine. But I'm not tearing kriya. I'm not sitting on the floor. I'm not an avel. That's not what that reflects. That's teaching us to yearn for the Beis HaMikdash. That's teaching us to make a Zecher l'Mikdash, to remember what was. Says the Magen Avraham, there is no Chinuch HaNavelis. 100% true. No such thing as kana chanavelos. The Gemara says maybe you tear kriya. That's because of agamas nefesh to make the crowd sad. But there's no mitzvah chinuch of training kids in avelos. I don't understand. Why don't they eat meat and wine during the 9 days? Says Magen Avraham, because that's not about avelos. It never was. The idea of refraining from meat and wine during the 9 days is about that zecher lemikdash. We do not teach our children to mourn. We do not teach ourselves to mourn. We should never know from mourning, as you said before. But, says the halacha, we certainly teach ourselves, and we definitely try to impart this message to our children. We need to learn how to yearn. Not to mourn, but to yearn for the mikdash. And during this time period, we take an opportunity to cut out that dalet al dalet in our house, in our heart. To not paint over a little part of our own guf and say, we're not going to satisfy that urge for meat and wine. Why? Because the mikdash. Like, we need the mikdash. We need the mikdash. And you know what? That's something you certainly should and certainly could teach your children. And that's why, even though there's no mitzvah chinuch, there's no din and there's no halacha of chinuch on avelos in general, because either it's so sad we wouldn't want to expect them to be avelim later in life, or because, like the Rav said, they can't internalize that intellectually. So even though there's no mitzvah chinuch, but there certainly is a training on yearning for the mikdash. And the truth is, this segues, as always, the halacha segues so beautifully, and it's the basis for the hashkafa and the practice that we're supposed to have going forward during these, this week and a half that we have left leading up to Tisha B'Av, and hopefully going into the rest of the year. And I want to just explain to you by way of an amazing Zohar HaChadash. It's hard to remember Zohar HaChadash, and I want you to hear the words inside, so I printed it for myself. And I'll read to you a little bit. It's a fascinating Zohar. Fascinating. I'm not a big Zohar guy. I saw it with Moshe Stav, who you know. I don't know. Look at that. I didn't go to KBY, but he has. They printed some of his, you have it? They printed some of his Shmuzen on the Machshava. So he quotes the Zohar. It's a beautiful piece, and I want to read it to you, and I want you to see how this ties into the message that we're talking about. Says the Zohar in a fascinating thing. You know, in all of Torah Shebichsav, the way Torah Shebichsav works is that there's written word in the Torah, Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and that word is very, very meaningful inherently. Every single word, every letter, every break in the Pesuk, everything is meaningful. We darshan everything. But we have to know the Torah Shebaal Peh to really understand. So the Pshuto Shel Mikra is meaningful, and there's another level of interpretation to everything, and there's often 70 levels of interpretation, so much so that you could have two Rabbanim who are Chachmei HaMasorah, who are really the leaders of our history and our storied religion, and all of the intellect and all of the, everything that went into all of Halacha. They are allowed to have an opinion about how to learn a Pasuk, and they're allowed to fight about it, right? They're allowed to fight about it. Mar ben Shalom Ba'om, like we said before, they're allowed to fight about the meaning is, and we say, Elu ve'elu, Devar Elokim Chayim. Meaning we assume that whatever the rabbis who are entitled to opinion give over to us is all true on some level. However, this is amazing, listen to this, there seems to be some sort of distinction by Echa. Listen to the Zohar HaChadash. Shalchulu b'nei Bavel l'vnei Ara Kadisha. The people who lived in Bavel, in the exile, sent letters, they sent a message to the people who lived in Eretz Yisrael. Listen to this. Lon yeis lemivki, lon yeis lemevet hesbeda. It's fitting for us to cry. It's fitting for us to eulogize. Al churban beis alakana, al desbadarna b'nei amamaya. It's actually very poetic, I didn't notice that until just now. But we're the ones who should cry, we're the ones who should eulogize about the churban, the destruction of the Beis HaElokim of the Beis HaMikdash, and about the spreading out, the diaspora of the children of the Jewish people. Says the Bnei Bavel, we're the ones who experienced the Golus. We're the ones who are neglected, who are being walked over by the nations physically and spiritually. We're the ones who are subjected to this terrible diaspora outside of Eretz Yisrael. We're the ones who feel the pangs of Golus. We're the ones who feel that pain of missing the Beis HaMikdash. We're the ones who really understand and internalize the Churban. Because of that, we have the exclusive right to Darshan Eicha. You in Eretz Yisrael, don't read Eicha, and don't try to tell me what it means. I'll tell you what Eicha means. I experience Eicha. I live in Bavel. Listen to this. Shalchulu b'nei Arakadisha. The B'nai Yisrael fought back. The people who lived in Eretz Yisrael, they wrote back a letter. Yeis to Asin. We're the ones who should really mourn, cry, eulogize the churban of the mikdash. Listen to this. The anan binaha de matronisa. We're the sons of the princess. We live in the palace. The anan mibe besa. We're from her home. The yadin yakra de mari alma. We recognize, we know, we've seen the beauty and the splendor and the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yerushalayim. Umistaklin einin lekose besa dimana. We spend every day looking at what the walls used to contain. We look at the Churban. V'ha ischara v'lo ashkach nala. We can't find the mikdash. We're the ones who walk through the streets and look for a mikdash and can't find it. to have us yankalan b'chol yoma. It was our sustenance, the mikdash. Every day it was our sustenance. B'yom and kadamayin, in the earlier days, mishafiru dila, from the beauty of it. Says the Bnei Bava, we should mourn for the korban, because we're stuck in galus. Say the people who live in Israel, no, we should mourn, because we saw what the mikdash was. What's this machlokas? What's going on? What's the discussion, the disagreement about what Avelus is and what the Churban is about and what Eicha is all about? So just one point that I saw recently. Rav Aaron Cutler, his sefer Mishnas Rav Aaron, he has a very, very poignant, sharp line. It's very simple. It's not complicated at all. It's not simplistic, but it's simple. Rav Aaron Cutler says as follows. You know, every single person, you're going to go to Kinas and you're going to go to Eicha and you're going to sit through Shiurim over Tisha B'Av, which is the day that's Aser and Talmud Torah, but the day that we learn the most out of the whole calendar year, a different story. So you're going to sit through all these things and you're going to hear every rabbi one after the other, every speaker one after the other is going to get up and say, why don't we feel the Churban? What is it about us that we're so disconnected? How come we can't, right? We're so dense and we can't, and this is how you do it, and this is how you do it. So Rav Aaron Cutler starts with the same question. But he says in his second answer something very brilliant. He says, you know why we don't really relate to the missing of the Beis HaMikdash? You know why we don't relate very well, very strongly, very deeply? We don't really feel like it's part of us that we're missing something? Says Rav Aaron Cutler, for a very interesting reason, because we have no, quote, she'ifos. We don't have any yearning, any pining. Meaning, if a person wants to be great, they want to learn a lot of Torah, they want to become a big baal chesed, they want to daven better, they want to be a better friend, a better parent. If a person yearns for greatness, then they realize that something is lacking. Because when there was a mikdash, there was a gilui shechina. There was light throughout the world that showed us the right way, that helped us understand which was the derech asher yelech bo, which was the way we were supposed to go to become gedolim, to become great in our own ways. Without a mikdash, we lost that guiding light. We don't have as strong a gilui shechina. It's not as concentrated. The hashras hashechina has in some way been lifted from upon us. If a person doesn't look to be a gadol, they don't notice what's missing. But if a person yearns for greatness, if a person wants to be a Kohen Gadol in his own way, wants to be a Talmud Chacham, wants to be a Tzaddik or Tzaddikas, wants to be someone who's a Baal Meisen Tovim, who grows, who becomes a Gadol, then they'll realize it's so much harder now because there's no Beis HaMikdash. So if a person thinks like that, all of a sudden it starts to feel a little bit. If I spend my whole life being content with how I'm living and not looking to grow, then I don't notice that anything's missing. But the second I start striving for more, I start to realize, wait, why is it so elusive? Why can't I catch what I want to catch? Why can't I touch Godless and Kedusha? Because we're missing a Mikdash. Then, says Rabbi Aaron, you'll start to relate to the Churban. You'll start to understand what's missing. Say the B'nai Bavel, we should mourn for Yerushalayim. We should darshan Eicha. We understand Gullus. Why? Because we are totally lost. We're at sea without a captain. We are running around the Gullus. We're trampled on by the other nations. We have no sheikhs, no relationship to anything Kadosh. It is impossible for us. We are sad. We are despondent. We are depressed. We should mourn and cry and eulogize, and we should learn Eicha. Says the people who live in Eretz Yisrael, are you crazy? You don't even know what the Mikdash is. We, in Eretz Yisrael, we saw the beauty and the splendor of the Mikdash. We know what we're missing. We know what Gedula was. We know what Godless and Kedusha and Tara and the light that was the Beis HaMikdash. We yearn for something. You and Bavel, you mourn. You definitely mourn. You're Avelim, you're sad. We hear that. But to yearn for the Mikdash, to be Doresh Tzion, to really wish you could be back in a full built, rebuilt Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, with the Beis HaMikdash, with the Kohen Bavadaso, we know what it was, and so we also relate to seeking now. We also relate to yearning for the Mikdash. You and Bavel can mourn, but you cannot yearn. And that's exactly what we're trying to point out over here. There is a place for Avelus. There's a place for mourning. And when a person yearns enough, believe me, they start to mourn. But the first step, says the people who live in Eretz Yisrael, the first step that community tells us is that a person has to know what's missing. They have to be yearning for a tzion. They have to be hoping, they have to be making a zecher lemikdash. But if you have no zikaron, if you have no memory and you have no commemoration of the mikdash, then what are you mourning for? If you're not yearning, then what are you feeling? You can't connect. That's what the Bnei Yisrael are telling the Bnei Bavel. A person has to yearn in order to really relate to the Korban and in order to really internalize what we're going through in this Gullus. Chinuch is about teaching our children messages that actually reach them. Like the Rav said before, Avelus is not a message that reaches our children. I'll give you the greatest proof. How many people here feel Avelus during the 9 days as adults? Don't raise your hands. It's embarrassing. We don't feel that. So you're going to teach it to a child. You're going to get Avelus and mourning into his head as he's on the way to a water fight in the middle of the 9 days, or as he's on the way to camp for a bowling trip in the middle of the 9 days, because you can't do swim, so we do bowling. Meaning, that's how you're going to teach. No, you can't teach a kid Avelus. You know what you could teach them? during the year, you could show them what it means to be a growing person. You could show them what it means to look for Kedusha. You could show them what Drishas Tzion looks like. You could teach them about the value of trying to rebuild Eretz Yisrael. You could teach them about the value of trying to rebuild yourself, of becoming a bigger Talmud Chacham. You could learn with your children. You could tell your children halachos they don't know about, and they could realize there's a more pure, more holy, more sanctified way to live my life. If you teach your children to yearn, that is the chinuch that will get us back to a place of feeling shayach to the Beis HaMikdash. If we feel shayach to the Beis HaMikdash, we'll feel the mourning, don't worry. But the message we want to give to ourselves, and the message that we want to give to our children, therefore the message I want to leave for you, is that we have to spend a lot more time learning how to yearn, and a lot less time trying to practice mourning. Shkaya.